Happy Monday, everybody. It's President's Day. We've got one show today, and it's a good one, the one I'm going to do for you right now. But I'm not going to do it by myself. I'm going to do it with my good friend, Sourabh Anand, who's a returning guest and an international PhD student. He's from India originally, but he's working in a department of language and literacy education at the University of Georgia. And he just got named into the list called 30 Under 30 by the International Literacy Association. And he's just a wonderful guy. We're going to have a nice conversation. Okay, which this sounds like a PhD thesis, and it might be the name of his, but we're going to break it down in slightly easier terms. Pedagogical relevance of corpus linguistic. I don't know how many of you know what that is, but it's the use of normal language or finding out language in real time and real text. It's going to be interesting. He'll explain. I will. He's an expert in the field. So we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, just like we always do. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And we hope you'll join with us over there. It's free. We do want your voice involved with the never-ending quest for equity. Our magazine is over there. Brilliant, brand-new issue up called Equity and Access. You'll see the big magazine cover. Just click through and enjoy the magazine. And you'll see an icon for podcast. Go over, see, listen to any podcast that you want. It's all over there at ace-ed.org. I hope you take a few minutes. Go over there, enjoy what we do, and join with us all about equity at ace-ed.org. And now I'll say hello to my friend, Sourabh Anand. Hello, Sourabh. It's Larry here.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine. It's a little chillier up here in Maine. It's about 3 degrees, but I hear it's cold down the south, too, today. Is it cold down there?
It is a cold day today. It's very cold for a Monday morning.
Monday doesn't matter with the weather. The weather doesn't know if it's Monday. It doesn't care if it is. I think it's cold down there, but it's colder up here. And whatever happens down there, you're not used to it. Well, you were. You were up in Minnesota, so be careful. Okay? And congratulations on this 30 Under 30 thing by the International Literacy Association. We're very proud of you, Sourabh.
Thank you so much, Larry. Your best wishes vindicates me to keep doing the work that I really care about. So I really, really appreciate your kind words here.
Well, you deserve it, my friend, and you're always welcome here. You know that. And how's the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia? What are you learning down there?
Well, I am learning all sorts of things, and things are getting even more interesting because I'm still learning in the middle of pandemic, and we recently had a conference, and I'm the communications editor of the journal who organized the conference itself.
Nice.
I am... so it has been quite an incredible experience, and I am loving it. I earlier used to say that I used to have a family in Minnesota. Now I can say that I have a family in Georgia as well.
You sure do. and Lord only knows where you're going to wind up next. I think it's great. When will you get your PhD, do you know?
Well, I should be getting my PhD in 2024. I should get done with that then, but you never know. Maybe earlier.
I hope it is. I hope it is. It's a lot of work, and I know you're doing good. Are you teaching classes as well?
Well, I am right now. My funding is more of a research assistantship, but I think I will be teaching maybe in the future, in nearer future. But I do co-instruct or assist my faculty members, the department, with their ongoing research projects. So yeah.
And I'll just ask this before we get into this corpus linguistic thing. What do you want to do when all's said and done? What do you want to do to come out of this?
Well, that's quite an interesting question. But how I envision myself, I want to be a professor. I want to teach writing. I want to set up writing centers, reading centers. I first want to learn how to teach better, and then want to teach other teachers how to teach better.
Good for you. Good for you, and you will do that. You'll accomplish it, Professor. And you will be a professor, and sooner than you think, believe me, Sarab, because I know you really care about all this stuff. It's unbelievable. And I tried to explain it, but it was a poor explanation. You want to talk about something, which I did look up on the web. It is interesting. It's called corpus linguistic, and you're talking about the pedagogy of teaching it. So I'm just going to ask you the easy questions for me to ask and then the hard ones for you to answer so that people understand why you're interested in this and why it's important to education. So what does corpus mean and what is corpus linguistic?
Okay, that's I want to tell you that if you pick up dictionary or Terasus, the word corpus is a Latin word that essentially means body or collection. When mm-hmm. we say body, it usually means a body of a deceased person, similar to the word corpse used by a lot of poets and philosophers in their creations. However, it also means collecting text or collecting text or some kind of oral knowledge material, usually collected for some definite or planned purpose. When there are more than one, it is called corpora. However, when we talk about corpus linguistics, it is basically a way to analyze a body of language production, which could be either big or small, both written or spoken, with different computer softwares in order to understand the discourse practices or to locate the themes of how language works within those texts.
It's interesting, and I want to ask you this, and this is an interesting question considering your background. Again, you're from India, and I know English is the main language there, but are you talking about the English language, or are you talking about any given all language?
Well, corpus could be of any language. The collection of the language could be of any language. So it does not necessarily mean English language text body. It could be text body of any language.
Okay. And then how does this relate? And I'm serious when I ask this, because I know that you're at a higher education, a higher level place. Okay. Talk about how this relates to the teaching experience of most educators, certainly in English and language arts. Relate it down to that level, if possible.
Okay. So there are a variety of things language teachers can possibly do with corpus analysis. Teachers can analyze the functioning of a specific language, which can be both, English, if that's what their students speak, or when we talk about in the ESL context, teachers can analyze perhaps the first language of the students to see how mm-hmm. the structure of the languages is similar or different in a particular context. Based on such analysis, teachers can set their content and language objectives while planning their lesson plans more effectively and efficiently. Corpus linguistics has also been proven useful for developing teacher materials. I give you an example here. So with Corpus Tool, teachers can design artifacts aiming to teach students the contextualized use of vocabulary, whatever students are there to learn, be it as first language or second language, because very often first language English speakers learn words intuitively without or very little understanding of why they are using certain words in a phrase. They do it because it is what they have heard other people saying in natural discourse setting. For example, when I say, it's not a big deal, I can drink 2 gallons of milk a day, I can also say, it's not a large deal, I can drink 2 gallons of milk a day. In both cases, these sentences are grammatically correct. The meaning of large and big are not quite different from each other. It is just that we don't say like that it's a large deal, that I have done something. However, if I use the word large and big in a sentence where the subject is a person, the usage of that of those words, big and large, would give completely different meaning. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. So how?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
you go. Continue your thought.
Okay.
Come on, Professor.
So
continue your thought.
However, in the case of second language acquisition, corpus informed pedagogy could help second language learners compare and contrast their first language with the language they are there to learn, in terms of structure, lexies, or other elements of languages, leading to much more critical and, I should say, informed way of acquiring language and making them more confident and supported.
That's really interesting, and I find it especially interesting, okay,
mm-hmm.
from your point of view, because
mm-hmm.
you're from India. Okay,
yeah.
And I think the right word is syntax. I'm not sure of that. Okay, but when
mm-hmm.
Indians, your East Indians like you from India speak English, they speak it in a different, I think the right word is syntax, than Americans do. And they
yes.
and when you come and you know this from experience, when you come to America, you're
mm-hmm.
speaking English. Believe me, I know you can speak English quite well, like everybody else there. Okay, I hope like most people can anyway. But the point is, okay, it's different when you came here. Are you interested in this because of your own personal experience? Am I right there?
Yes, I am interested in it because I have heard this or have experienced myself where I have seen people raising their brows, seeing me, a brown person, you know, teaching English, which is usually...
That's your language.
You know.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
So, but I guess I always say, and I think I should, make this copyright, because wherever I go, I say this statement that English belongs to none but to all. You know, you should not. Yeah. So, I mean, it is something that does not belong to any community or any ethnicity. It is a language, one of
right.
the many languages present in
right.
this,
point.
Living
Good
in
point.
This world. And the color doesn't have to do anything with it. You want to communicate?
Absolutely. And that I think was the point I was trying to make, is that,
yeah.
I'll say it this way, English in India is spoken differently from English in America. Would that
yeah.
be a good way to put it?
Yes, we do a different kind of English, and which
yeah.
basically means, which is, which is Indian English. And it comes under the umbrella of world Englishes, which is basically the kinds of English, Englishes spoken in Anglophone English, where we had British influence or post-colonial or pre-colonial or colonial experience, where English
yep. Yep.
Came to our culture but never go back or couldn't go
yep.
back for good reasons.
Yep. And actually, I hate to say it, in those days, colonial India, it was almost
mm-hmm.
a subservient English, which is a sad way to put it, okay, because
mm-hmm.
it denigrates the great civilization of India. But in
mm-hmm.
fact, it was colonial for so long, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the kind of thing we're talking about here, that if – and my wife, you know, who taught English as a second language, she worked with a lot of – which she loved, worked with a lot of Indian engineers – okay, and she always got a kick out of the way they spoke English and correcting them to do it in an American style, okay, which they appreciated because that's they were here and trying to learn how to do that. Is that the whole idea of corpus linguistic, is to understand the two and put it together so that we can take the real text and have it make sense?
Well, it depends. See, here the important thing to look at, that what kind of corpus we are looking at. So let me answer this question in a bit of long in the long manner by telling you why should teachers do such analysis.
Okay,
so I think it is crucial for every second language or essentially any language teacher to know the resources that they are bringing to the classroom. Are those resources specifically support the learning that they intend for their students? Knowing how to do a corpus analysis provides that ability to them. It helps teachers to plan their instruction in much more informed manner. One can do meta-analysis of language resources and see whether those resources align with the reading level or the grade level of a student they are teaching. Are those resources suitable to develop interest which is, you know, when I say interest,
that
means motivation for reading, which might be crucial when we say reading for both when we say reading to learn or learn to read in our literacy field, you know. So I give you my I give you an example of corpus-based research connecting to reading and literacy development I did at my former grad school. In my research, which was also my master's capstone project, I tried to analyze a corpus, which was essentially a body of text on a website belonging to a resource that was primarily designed for struggling readers intending to provide second language vocabulary development. So what I did, I tried to see whether that product provided the necessary scaffolding as it purported to do, okay? And if it did, what kind of specific language supports are they are providing, and what are the possible improvements they have as a product? So I wrote a complete article, a journal article. My article will be out soon in a Georgia-based journal. I'm happy to send it over to you when it gets out.
I would love it.
That.
Thank you. Thank you. I would love that. Thank you.
So so this would be my, long justification.
Okay. Well, it makes sense, but and what you're saying obviously makes sense, okay? I get that, but how does a teacher go about doing that? I mean, it's easy to say, understand the way I'm saying that. It's easy to say, do that, and this would make your teaching better. But how does a teacher, okay, a typical, I'll say, ESL teacher or teacher in a specific school go about doing that? Where do they even begin, and what's the process?
Okay, so
that's
it's
a lot
very
of questions,
relevant.
By the way. I understand that, but I'm just, just practically, how do they? I mean, theoretically, let me just say this way. Obviously, you're right. Okay, nobody would argue with that, but the question is, how do we do this now, or do we depend on the big companies to create that in the materials they give us? That's interesting. I love this. Go for it. Tell me how we do this.
I can see
the syrup company coming up and doing this, okay, with the good stuff you create, okay, the syrup company. Okay, but tell me, so how do we do this?
Well, it's a very relevant question, Larry, and I totally understand. As a teacher of social sciences, I remember you used to teach social sciences earlier.
I did.
So there are various corpora and lexical resources available based on different language patterns or themes teachers want to analyze to make their pedagogy better. The best part of most of these resources is that they are open source. So they are available free of cost. Okay. And not only that, they are, when you go to their websites, the website itself provides very elaborated and guiding instructions to teachers how to use them. For example, there's a corpus by the name of COCA, COCA. It's an acronym for the Corpus of Contemporary American English.
COCA.
So it is a corpus of American English that has a collection of at least 1 billion words added over time. And similarly, for British English, there is a specific one by the name of British National Corpus. And in fact, to analyze the working of English as a global language, there's a corpus that has specific varieties of different Englishes by the name of International Corpus of English. So what these resources do, these resources would help one notice the natural working of language in a specific context.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when, for example, I am a teacher here and I want to analyze my own customized corpus, which is essentially my teachers, my own resource basically. Okay, it could be the books that I'm teaching, the text of the books I'm teaching, the text of the assignment sheet that I'm giving to my students. There are for that there are different kinds of tools. For example, AntConc is one of the resources. It is a concordancing tool which tells which word is using with the other words as collocation. Okay, would also tell us how many adjectives, verbs, nouns are there when you feed that text body into that software, which will be your corpus into that software. And it would also create a list of words used in a corpus along with their frequency. That means how many times they have occurred or appeared in a body of a text. You know, so then there is another one which I personally feel very relevant for teachers. It is called Vocab Profiler. It is available on a lexical analysis website called LexTutor. It tells so what happens when you put in your corpus into it. It tells the software tells what kind of vocabulary that has been used in it, and there are different kinds of tiers within the vocabulary as well. For example, K1 vocabulary, which is the first 1,000 words of frequently words used in the English language. Then we have K2 vocabulary words, which are next 1,000 most frequently used words in the English language. Then we have academic word list, which is the word pool of 570 words, and then if those words do not belong to any of these three categories that I just said, they are essentially the context-specific words or content-specific words. When we are reading about civics, for example, it might tell you that memorandum is not an academic word, or it is not a frequently K1 vocabulary word or K2 vocabulary word. It is something which is related to the topic that you are reading. So the crux of the matter here is that using such tools is to provide teachers a more planned, strategic, theory, and research-driven ways of language acquisition techniques and methods so that teachers can help readers today of varied language fluency levels to be successful academics of future or successful readers in general.
This has been around for a while, quite obviously, okay? And I know you're studying it more deeply and applying it more deeply now, which is your course of interest right now, okay? So where do you see this going, okay? Because what you're saying is very interesting. It's something that in teaching language and literacy, educators have to know. And the people who supply them with information and materials have to know, because this is a good tool. Okay, where do you see this going? How do you see this being used?
There could be a variety of ways it can be used for the assessment purpose. When we do assessment, we do based on the performance of our students. But we generally do not, teachers may miss to see that we are assessing students based on their performance, but they are also performing based on what resources we are facilitating to them, right?
Right.
So if
good point.
So if we are going to develop our own resources because we care for our students, or teachers go and teach in variety of contexts. For example, when I tried to tutor struggling readers of up to K5 level, I'm not wrong. So they have special needs, And for that, you have to come up with different kinds of or you know unconventional pedagogies. So
you're right.
So for that, Corpus gives you that opportunity to come up with resources building or essentially build resources which go aligns with the language objectives or content objectives you are putting forth in to be in
yeah.
front of your students, or as teachers you want them to grow with or leave the classroom with. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, I do know what you mean.
Because reading is really important. We just see that, oh, okay, it's not a big deal that you're not reading. You will get to read maybe in the next grade. But,
yeah.
You know, it is a life skill. Today, a student may not be able to write or read. Tomorrow, that person may not be capable of doing complex jobs and then or think critically. And that might also connect to the person being unemployed or doing same similar job or not getting promotions in the longer
That's
run
right.
when the
That's
person
right.
grows. So it connects to the life of a person. So we
wow.
really got to think of what we are doing today, and we are not ignoring students who may need more scaffolding than other students. And when I say scaffolding here, I really do not mean, you know, making our students used to the scaffoldings that we are giving. We are giving scaffolding, or we are providing proper scaffolding to our students because for now they need it. But our long-term aim is to build that sufficiency, self-sufficiency within our students who may not need those scaffoldings down the line, and they read successfully, fluently.
It's so interesting. And, you know, as you're talking, Sarab, it strikes me, and you heard me say at the beginning, you know, with our work with equity, it's really, it boils down again to an equity question, because you're creating language that works for different groups of kids based on their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yes, totally. I mean, we do want scaffolding, but we do not want to make students get used to it. We want them to develop love for reading, and once they have developed it, we want to retain it. We also want to challenge the learning of our students. And you know, when Krashen says that there should be a comprehensive input, we usually talk about K plus one, right? But
yes.
If our students are finding it difficult to understand that K component in that K plus one, then how can we expect them to learn something, content, which is a little over there, which would
yeah.
be even more challenging for them? So we really got to work on helping our students developing that understanding of K, and once that understand that K component of the comprehensible input, we also want to challenge them to by adding K1, the plus one element, so that they learn much more creatively and passionately, and they also make sense of things which are not scaffolded down the line.
It's really interesting. You're going to go far, my friend. I want to believe me, ILA, International Literacy Association, has figured that out, as I have. Okay, you're really good at what you do. So, Rob, I'm serious. You are. You're really good. You're going to go places, man. And you know, as you keep doing this stuff, you stay in touch with me, and we'll keep getting it out there for you. Okay?
Well, the pleasure is mutual. I always, always, always want to come, and I'm really, really grateful for all the support you and has been providing. So I'm really, really grateful.
It is truly our pleasure to do that for you. You're really a good guy. We really enjoy working with you. Okay? So thank you, Sarab.
Yes.
And stay safe. There's still COVID, so stay safe, my friend. Okay?
Yes, you as well. Give my regards
Thank you.
to your family as well. Bye-bye.
I will. I will. And zip up your jacket. It's cold down there today.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. That's my friend, Saurabh Anand, who's an international PhD student. He's from India. Okay, Department of Language and Literacy Education, going for his PhD at University of Georgia. And, again, just got named 30, one of the 30 under 30 by ILA. Okay, he's a great guy. All right, and, wow. You know, it's the higher education mind putting this stuff together, and it all boils down to stuff you're going to be using in a classroom sometime now or in the future. So check it all out, all right? We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Tell your friends what we do. Please go over and join with us over there. We'd love to have you. I'm Larry Jacobs. I thank you very much for listening, and it is President's Day. Have a good one.